don't be rigid in, you know, this is what I have to do. And if I don't do it, you know, everything falls apart. I think be open to your career being more of a, you know, winding path, maybe a bit of a maze sometime.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Welcome to Five Questions With, our series of quick interviews with industry leaders, change makers, and those who inspire our community. We're talking professional journeys and about investing in your education and career and self with those who have been in our shoes. I'm Janetta Hott, founder of MBA Chic, a platform and community for MBAs and professionals around the world. We help navigate business school, careers, and more with the goal of propelling more women into the C-suite. We're here today with Elizabeth Diana, Vice President and Head of Communications of Deel. She has a background in advertising, marketing, and public relations. And if you've read our interview with her about the power of real talk and communication, you know she's worked in a number of spaces, including some of the most important tech firms of today. Prior to her current role, she served as Director of Instagram Communications and Director of Corporate Communications at Facebook, overseeing business PR for the company. Elizabeth also worked at advertising agency Publicis and Hal Reiney as a brand strategist and at Google in the Global Communications and Public Affairs Group. Elizabeth holds an MBA from UC Berkeley, Haas School of Business, and a BA from Stanford University. Thank you so much for being here, Elizabeth. I'm so excited to get to these questions with you.
Thanks, Janetta. It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you.
Option.
Absolutely. So, all right. First up, this is MBA Chic. So let's dive right into your B-school years with question one. What drew you to the MBA? What did the MBA mean to you, the investment in yourself and your career now that you're on the other side?
Yeah. What drew me is I knew I wanted to make a career switch. I was in advertising. I really loved advertising and I loved the clients we served. A lot of them were very familiar with marketing and quant and analytics. And they use that rigor to apply to, you know, the business strategy around our advertising. And I knew I wanted to do what they were doing. And so I wanted to make the jump sort of to marketing and marketing strategy. I knew I needed more analytics acumen and I needed business strategy acumen and even some finance background. I thought that the MBA would be good, applied to Haas. Thankfully, they accepted me. I really loved the size of Haas. It was a smaller community. And what did the MBA mean to me? I mean, it meant a lot of things. I think the things that jump out are the networking. You know, I mean, the classes, of course, were great and I learned a lot. I would say the thing that I remember the most are the people and the network I take from that. I'm still in great touch with many of them, but also just for job career opportunities. We've all been really helpful to each other. I think the second thing that I would say I took away was I was in my 20s. I was a woman and, you know, I think probably a lot of women can relate when you are out of college. You're sort of like, wow, the world is my oyster. And then you start looking for a job and you realize, you know, you're at a bit of a confidence deficit. I feel like, you're not sure of yourself. At least that was the way I felt. And the MBA gave me the tools to really feel more confident in my abilities, public speaking, knowing the data, able to strategize and analyze better. I felt like I walked away with a lot more confidence going into my next career.
Wow. Yeah. We often hear that where it gives you that confidence to, you know, the command of what you know, but also confidence to be bold and drive your career. That's amazing. Okay. You've had some amazing roles running communications, you know, oftentimes through, you know, a policy lens for some of the most impactful, important organizations of today, Google and Alphabet, Instagram and Meta, and now you're at Deel, transforming the future of work. Did you always have this sort of path in mind for yourself from your MBA days or even before to today? What did your path to the C-suite look like?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't have a path in mind. I think a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people on their business school applications, even their college applications, right? Like their path, and that's great. And everyone should have goals. But it definitely changed for me. I think I wanted to go into marketing, as I mentioned. And then actually in my the summer between my first and second year of business school, I went to LA and did film marketing and realized that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. Then the recession hit and Google was hiring, thankfully, but they were hiring in a role that was adjacent to what I had been doing before, which was advertising, but not marketing. It was PR. It was sort of policy, public affairs. And I fell in love with it. So I think the takeaway for me is don't be rigid in, you know, this is what I have to do. And if I don't do it, you know, everything falls apart. I think be open to your career being more of a, you know, winding path, maybe a bit of a maze sometime. But be really open. I think the things that I found that are sort of the threads throughout my career that has propelled me or maybe motivated me to look beyond what I'm doing to the next thing have been the people. So I followed my boss from Google to Facebook. He was a huge mentor to me. I just knew that if he was there and he was enjoying the work, that I would have a fulfilling career and, you know, a lot of people around him that would support me. And I thought that was really important to me. And so that was a big decision. So the people that really push you and mentor you and get the best out of you, I think is a really important thing to look for me at least. And then the second thing I would say is just like the learning mindset. Like, you know, when I graduated from business school, Google was really interesting, even though it wasn't marketing, because it was about online advertising. And I thought that was really interesting. I didn't know a ton about online advertising, right? And search ads. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to learn something here that I will carry through to the next thing. I knew that like online advertising wasn't going away. And then, you know, going to Facebook, it was social media. Wow. Don't know a lot about that. That feels like a part of the future. I'd love to learn more about that. And then with Deel, I knew, you know, I didn't know a ton about HR. I knew it was something that was complex and changing, especially with COVID. And so I thought, you know, this is something that's evolving and something that would be really interesting and propel me again into the next thing because it's something I'm learning. So always having that learning mindset plus the people, I would say, are the two things that have determined my career path, if you want to call it a path.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's fantastic. And we're kind of getting into sort of our next like bulky question where we kind of tap into, but I think, you know, you kind of saying it wasn't sort of a crafted path or a map that you had laid out for yourself, that openness and the fact that you were in business school during the recession, I think really, you know, I think it certainly resonates with a lot of us right now, or, you know, many in our audience who are in your shoes. But also, yeah, like it's kind of things unfold that you have no idea what magic is going to open things up for you in good times and uncertain ones.
Flexible. Right. Someone told me the other day that some of the biggest companies that are like in market size in terms of market cap and just like success grew out of the period in the recession from 2010 to 2000, I think it was like 2006 to 2015 or whatever it was, but during a recession, some of the biggest companies right now have grown out of that, at least in tech. And I thought that was really interesting, right? That even in lean times, it maybe focuses you a bit more. It helps you prioritize. It allows you to be more flexible and more open to things that you wouldn't have been before. Mm. And sometimes amazing things can come of that.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Okay. So we kind of talked about, you know, you mentioned you following your boss to Facebook. I'll ask this question and we can kind of pick it apart a little bit, but we normally say, you know, what drives you as a leader? What's your leadership philosophy? Who inspires you or served as a mentor or sponsor along the way? And what do you think ultimately has been key to your success? So I love we've kind of like prefaced this, previewed this a little bit.
Lots of good questions. Okay. Let me see if I can unpack it. I would say driving me as a leader is that I am approachable. So I'm here for anyone, right? So people don't feel like, you know, they have to have everything perfectly laid out when they come to me. They can come to me as a sounding board that I, you know, I can help them coach them through something that's hard or help them get to a decision. So that's really important. I'm not there to just tell them what to do. I'm there to sort of bring out the best in them and figure out like, you know, what problem solve a bit, I think is what I'm there for. So being approachable enough that they can come to me early and often, that I can be a sounding board. The other thing is just that, you know, or level of trust that I trust in them to do a really good job, you know, that it's about delivering beyond just like 10 out of 10, but, you know, delivering an 11 out of 10, exceeding expectations. Like that's kind of always my bar. And I trust in them to have that same bar and that same set of expectations for themselves. But, you know, I'm also there if there are things that we need to course correct. Like I can get in there and I can get into the details with them. I'm not just there, you know, like zooming out to the big picture. I also want to get in the details with them. So that's something that that I think I do well. But, you know, I think it's about a level of trust so that you're not micromanaging anyone, right? The final thing I'll say is, this was some, I'll try not to curse, during this thing, but, someone gave this advice to me and I'm passing it along that as a manager and even as a leader, you want to be a, an SH blank T,
it's okay. Go for it.
Umbrella and not a shit funnel. You want to be a shit umbrella, not a shit funnel, meaning
okay. Yeah.
You want to protect your team. You don't want to funnel the shit down to them. Yeah. Cause like, that's a really gross metaphor, but it's true. It's like, you don't want to pass along, you know, bad stuff that they then have to deal with. Like as a manager, it's your job to unblock, to tackle, to help them with that stuff. And I think that's an important thing that I've, you know, it's a very, very powerful metaphor. In fact, we'll remember it. It's memorable. And finally, I think the other thing is just context sharing and information sharing. I think there's companies where people hold information and it's sort of, they think it's power and they use it. I totally disagree with that. I think information sharing is power. Like the more context you give your team, you give your partners, the better environment they have to do a better job. Instead of just asking someone for something, tell them why you're asking for it. If something is brewing that's important and strategic to know, give them an early sneak peek if it's not like material or anything crazy, but if it's, you know, going to help them do their jobs better and have better context, that's important. And I think we sometimes wait until things are like perfect in a bow and we send them off into the world. And I think early and often updates are better.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. A striking example, but absolutely part of it, right? Providing that coverage and that also builds the trust, right? If you're totally, you're sharing information, but trust. You're like, exactly. Yeah, I can come with something and not be completely, you know, they will protect me and look after me. Oh, fantastic. And you mentioned your, who inspires you served as mentor. Would you say it was that manager who you followed over from, Google to Facebook? Was it?
I mean, there are a lot of people. Brandon McCormick, he was at Google and then he went to Facebook. He established that level of trust with me as a manager to me. And so I think I've maybe emulated that sort of level of trust and sort of like helping people, you know, get the best out of people, but also giving them trust to do their job and do it well. So yeah, he was definitely an early mentor. I think there are people at Facebook who also, Debbie Frost, another amazing, amazing mentor who, you know, she was always sort of like, okay, in an email or a meeting, like, you know, always be thinking about how to move the ball forward. So like, okay, what are next steps or how do I look around the corner and anticipate something before someone else does, right? Like always be thinking, okay, what would happen next? What would happen next? What would happen next? And how do you support your team or as an individual contributor, how can you think about, okay, doing that next thing to get the ball moving forward to that end goal, whatever it is. I think the CEO of Instagram, Justin Ossofsky, is also a really good, he taught me the importance of looking at a problem and figuring out, okay, what is the problem we're trying to solve or what's the goal that we're trying to achieve? Always start with that. Or what does success look like? Like always anchor yourself to kind of the big picture first and then work backwards and then decide, okay, what are the options that we have to get us to that point of success, to get us to that goal? To solve that problem and look at the trade-offs of each option and weigh them against each other. So they're just, you know, there's a bunch of frameworks that I've learned over the years, a lot of them at Facebook and Instagram actually, that have helped me in my career.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. And all of that, you know, you drag that with you, you drag your relationships with you too,
as
you
move forward. Oh right? Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the other thing that I should mention. I mean, you know, just relationship building never goes away. I mean, yes, work based on other things besides relationships, it should be, but building great relationships and making sure you build up a good reputation as someone who can get stuff done, who's strategic, who can move the ball forward. I think all of those things matter, really, they matter, and they pull through in other things that you do in your career, for sure.
Oh my gosh, this is fantastic. I feel like we're getting so many, we're pulling out some of the gems that have been key. So.
Oh my gosh, I love these questions. Thank you.
Okay. So this one is like another multi-parter, of course. What are you most proud of during your career? And what's been the most challenging or most surprising, and why?
I'm proud of a lot of stuff, and it took more than just me. So I just want to caveat it that it wasn't just me who did all these things. I would say, you know, early on at Facebook, actually this leads into what's been the most challenging too, but, I would say one thing that we did at Facebook early on was build out small and medium-sized business advocacy program, and also an event program. So, you know, small businesses were using Facebook. They were sort of like similar to like Google Ads, Google AdWords, and AdSense. They were a more cost-effective option to, you know, running a business. Like, you could take out ads. You could reach the exact audience that you wanted to reach. And you wouldn't have to sort of leave money on the table when you use like TV ads and things that are also usually typically reserved for larger advertisers, larger businesses. So we saw it as kind of leveling the playing field when it came to access to advertising and access to marketing your business and growing your business. Small businesses got this really early, but what we needed to do is connect them to each other so that they could learn from each other. But we could also use them as evangelists for PR, right? Like, we could say, okay, you know, you've done so many amazing things. You've grown your business so much. You've been able to go from local to global. Like, can we connect you with people that are like you in your industry so you all can learn from each other? But also, could you tell your story to the world? And that got them free PR, right? Like, I mean, that got them promotion as well. So it was like a real win-win. And so we created that program where we'd create actually Facebook groups, and they would all come together, and then we would bring them to Facebook, and they would meet executives. They'd give feedback, early feedback on products. We'd give them access to early products that we were building. And it was a real, you know, two-way, amazing relationship. And it worked really well. It helped. For Facebook, it helped us grow this amazing group of ambassadors for small businesses, and they could tell people about, you know, Facebook and why it's working for them. For us, it was great for PR and marketing. You know, it was just a great way to get the word out. So that was something that I and many other people built. Shout out to Bess Yount, who did that as well, and Dan Levy. But yeah, it was a really great way to get the word out about Facebook advertising for small businesses. And then on the most challenging, I know that was a sort of a long answer, but I will keep this one short. Most challenging, I think, for, you know, one that also comes to mind at Facebook was just explaining to people how Facebook ads worked. You know, earlier in the day, 2011, I mean, we were trying to explain that Facebook advertising actually works. And now I joke that I think we've done too good of a job. You know, people believe Facebook and Instagram ads work. I think they sometimes are like, whoa, this is very personalized. But people don't remember that in the early days, it was, you know, 10 years ago, it was hard. No one believed that Facebook ads were going to work. Mm. And so it was around our IPO, and it was just, there was a really big open question about it. And so that was a huge challenge and took a lot of time. I think the biggest thing that helped was, back to the small business example, is just showcasing when it worked and how it worked, for whom it worked. So, you know, small and bigger advertisers, but it was definitely a long haul.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And great lesson for anyone, you know, trying to start something new and really kind of just getting into the, here's what it's done, you know, showcasing it.
I mean, it's definitely like just a reminder that some things take a while. It's not an overnight thing that will work. You got to kind of like chip away at it.
Oh my gosh. And I guess, do you have anything for like what's surprised you throughout the course of your career? Has there anything, good surprises, challenging surprises, what have you, things you weren't expecting?
I think just, you know, being open to new projects and new, you know, I think if there's something that really interests you, just start investigating, start figuring out the people who are working on it, get to know the subject matter really, really well, become an expert. and tell your manager, tell the person that's managing you or, you know, partners that you work with that you're more interested in learning about that. I think too often we sort of solve for weaknesses that people, I'm not good at this. So, you know, I must learn this thing to get better at it. But also if you're good at something, we should just, you know, people should double down on what you're good at or what you're interested in, because that's the thing that I think you're going to really excel at. Mm-hmm. So when I see someone on my team really saying, okay, you know what, I really love XYZ, I always am like, let's get you to do more of that. Like, let's figure out a way to free up your time to get you to spend more time on the things that give you energy. Because I think for me as a manager, I see that as probably a way that they're going to be even more successful for the team.
Yeah.
So my advice to anyone that's surprised me in my career, the things that I've excelled at the most are the things that I sort of raised my hand and said, hey, I actually am really interested in this thing over here. And it had like tangentially related maybe to what I was doing, but I really wanted to learn more. A good example on the small business side of things is like there was in Germany, they call it the Mittelstand, is very, it's like the small business community in Germany, they're really, really active. They're an active part of the economy. And I was sort of like, this is really cool. Can I do more here? And I got to go to Germany and work with the team and we built up a program there. And that was something that I raised my hand for. I think we often don't think about the things that maybe might be slightly outside of our scope, but you'd be surprised that your manager might be really excited for you to work on those things. And they're not mind readers. So you have to tell them, right? Like you're never gonna get something just by thinking about it. You actually have to go for it and ask for it. So
oh, fantastic. Awesome. I love that. That's really cool. Okay. So the final sort of fifth question, as we kind of close this out, what words of advice would you offer to those embarking on ambitious career paths and setting big goals in life? And you mentioned, you know, you were in the recession between years one and two, you know, you shifted your plan. I think of course for people in school right now or thinking about school or recent grads, or really anyone, let's just leave it at that. What words of advice would you offer for those embarking on their paths?
Yeah. I mean, if you're graduating from business school, just be, again, the theme of flexibility, be really open. Just be open to like, you know, what are things that you think are going to be around in the next 5 to 10 years, or things that you think are really interesting and emerging, topics that interest you, explore those. Yes, maybe they might not have the exact role in marketing or strategy or finance or ops that you want. But if there's a business or an industry that's interesting to you or a problem that you want to solve, like you're going to figure out a way to get into that right role. I think it's just being more flexible around learning and having that learning mindset. Because right now, I think really cool stuff can happen, even, you know, if it's not exactly the thing you want. So just be very open-minded. The second thing I think in anything that you do, we just had actually a speaker come to our all hands and he gave some really sage advice, which is exceed expectations. You know, there's always sort of in someone's mind, you know, okay, that's the thing that they want you to do. Go to 11, don't do 10 out of 10, go to 11. Yeah. Like, you know, I think try to anticipate the additional thing or the thing that comes after 10 out of 10 and do it. Look around corners. Like if there's stuff that, okay, wait, you know, once you hit that goal, what's the next thing that's going to happen? Try to anticipate that and figure out a way to deliver beyond that. And meet that sort of like thing that you're anticipating. I think the people that I always want to follow and work for are the people that exceed my expectations and go beyond the task at hand. And I think that's advice that I would give for myself and for anyone, is whatever you're doing, even if it's not quite the thing you want to be doing at the moment, over deliver. Yeah.
All right. Oh, perfect. That's excellent advice. And of course, that'll resonate with literally everyone listening to this, myself included. Fantastic. Okay. Well, let's shift. We've got a couple more minutes if you want to talk some rapid fires to close this out.
Sure. I love a rapid fire.
Okay, cool. How about, okay. We've spoken about a number of jobs, but what was your first job?
I think it was a babysitter. I always liked babysitting at places that had really good food in their pantry. I don't know if other people relate. That's so bad, but it's like, ooh, they had snacks.
Yeah, that's totally a perk. Awesome. Was it like neighborhood people or, you know,
Yeah,
people
I
at
was like,
school?
I think, and I would like walk people to school. Hilariously, you can't tell on Zoom, but I'm short. And so that some of the people that I would walk to school were literally my height or taller. They were like, which one's the babysitter? Yeah. Yeah.
Love
A lot of them.
it. What's your favorite city to travel to and favorite thing to do there?
I mean, I have to pick New Orleans because it's where my mother grew up. My mom's side of the family's from there. It's just an amazing place. If you haven't been, I very much recommend it.
Oh
Um,
my
and
gosh.
there's like places like Galatoire's for lunch, Commander's Palace. They're just walking around the Garden District. There are these old, amazing houses. Yeah, New Orleans.
Oh my gosh, it's on my list. I need to go.
Oh, well,
Absolutely.
let's talk before you go. I have good
Absolutely.
recs.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what song is currently playing on loop for you?
Oh, that's an amazing one. Well, I am a huge Swiftie. That's something about me.
You go.
So I could talk about Taylor Swift for a very long time. So I really like the new album. I have thoughts on it. There's some things that I would do differently, but I would say that's on repeat. And then I like country. There's an album called Plains. That sort of these two women got together and put together a country album that's remarkable. And there's a song called Hurricane. You should check it out. If
Oh my
be open
gosh.
to country. This isn't like country means many things to many people. This is sort of more like I would say bluegrassy, but it's really, really, really good. So it's called Plains and it's the song's Hurricane.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Yeah, I will definitely
Really
listen this
good.
weekend. Yeah, thanks. Okay, we'll do one more. I've got like a list that I like to pull from. Do you have a secret talent or hobby that people might be surprised to hear about?
Gosh, yeah, hobby's so hard. I mean, I really like everything having to do with like movies. I'm a big movie buff, so
Ooh.
love that. I just got someone recommended a really good Dune pod. You should check it out. It's a
Okay.
cool movie, like geek podcast. Dune pod. So I love everything movies. I would say, I just really like this just de-stresses me is just when I used to have to commute a lot to Facebook and stuff. And I love singing in my car. I'm not good, but I love singing in my car.
Oh my gosh.
Just a good
100%. It's such a release. That's one thing that I think I don't do enough of anymore, but
de-stress.
right? It's like
Right. We
it's
don't do enough
just
of
you.
it as much, right? But yeah,
Yeah. Nothing like scream singing your
totally.
favorite songs.
Exactly.
Oh my
Exactly.
gosh, I love it. Oh, that's so good. I appreciate you playing. Rapid fires, you know, always a solid way to close
Oh
out. And this was really fun. I enjoyed it. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story, your insights, and helping us to kind of think through how to blaze our own ambitious career trails. And we appreciate you making the time. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
anytime. This was amazing. Thank you again for having me.
Thank you. You can find Elizabeth Diana on LinkedIn and on Twitter. She's at EDI York. We'll share everything, including her full bio, on our website. So head to mbachic.com after this. All right. Take care, Elizabeth. Thank you again. Have a great day.
Janetta.